It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum Number Two. Well, this week we want to look at how a liberal government can turn into an authoritarian one. And something that for me is really quite scary in my own country. Now, my example, I think Scotland is probably the worst I know of, and that other countries such as Australia, England, Western Europe will more and more follow this line, but the route that Scotland is going is terrifying. Now, I want you to listen to this clip that, first of all, sounds quite innocuous.
Well, Ian Blackford, you represent a party with the word national in its title. What's your answer to that question?
Well, you know, I'd say something very, very simple. It's not a question of where you're from, it's where you're going. And although we are the Scottish National Party, we are a party of civic nationalism. It's about making Scotland the best place that it can be for those that live here. And I want people to come and make Scotland their home, to be part of our story. Scotland's always been a country that's been made up of migrants, right from the beginnings of time. And we've been enriched by those that have come here over the last 100 years, people from the Asian subcontinent, people from Europe, from Italy, from Ireland, you name it, that people that have contributed to the richness of our life. And that's what we should be embracing. That's what we should be celebrating. It is that humanity that Shami talked about. It's the values that we have. And I have to say, I do think that we do have a different outlook in many ways, as I think was expressed in the vote in the European referendum here compared to the rest of the United Kingdom. The compassion and the values that we have. The fact that in Scotland, that education is something which is a right. It's not based on ability to pay. It's about the open access to education, which is so important to us. There are a different set of values that I think people collectively buy into here in Scotland. Where people are from is irrelevant. It's whether or not they're prepared to put their shoulder to the wheel and make sure that this can be the best country we can make it.
Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? It's not a question of where you're from, it's where you're going. Well, as a Christian, of course, I'm going to agree with that. Are we going to heaven or are we going to hell? That's the most important thing. But here, in this sense, talking about civic nationalism, making Scotland the best place it can be, did you hear what he was saying about the values that we have? How, and then an incredible arrogance and hubris that just has infected Scottish life. We have a different outlook, and that means a different outlook from England or from the rest of the UK, as he states, expressed in the European referendum. The values and compassion we have. Now, what's the problem with all of that?
Welcome to Britain's hidden divide. Anywheres versus somewheres. The old divides are superseded. Our country is now split into two rival value blocks. The anywheres versus the somewheres. Anywheres tend to be educated and mobile. They value autonomy, openness and fluidity. They see the world from, well, anywhere. Somewheres tend to be more rooted and less well educated. They value group attachments, familiarity and security. They see the world from particular places, from somewhere.
There's a fascinating book by David Goodhart called The Road to Somewhere, which divides the world into, or at least the UK, into people who are somewheres. They identify with a place, they identify with their background, they identify with a nation, they identify with their group. And the anywheres, who kind of see themselves as citizens of the world. They tend to be richer. They tend to be, inverted commas, better educated. And they tend to have a different set of values. Now, what Mr. Blackford is doing here is, I think, quite disturbing. Because he's saying, if you have our values, you're Scottish. Now, I'll let you into a wee secret. I was actually born in England, in Berwick-upon-Tweed. But I was assured I was conceived in Scotland, and I've lived in Scotland most of my life. I do regard myself as Scottish. But now what Mr. Blackford is doing, he's saying, you could be born anywhere, and you could come here after living most of your life somewhere else. If you identify with our values, you're Scottish. But he's saying to people like me, and even people who are born in Scotland, you're not Scottish if you don't identify with our values. And what are those values? Well, it's very specific to the Scottish government. It's very specific to a particular way of thinking. And so I have a real, real concern about this. And that concern was made worse when I listened to the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, speaking at the Glasgow Pride.
Hello, Glasgow Pride! Let me hear you! You all look amazing! You all look beautiful! You are an absolutely wonderful sight! And I mean this from the bottom of my heart.
So proud. Scotland values tolerance, diversity, respect for all. Above all, Scotland values love. So these are the values, okay? Tolerance, diversity, respect for all, and love. Well, can I just ask who's going to be against any of that? Those things are meaningless. And here is my concern both with Mr. Blackford, the Westminster leader of the SNP, and Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister and the main leader of the SNP. They speak of these values, inverted commas, as though they were self-evident. So it's self-evident. If you value these things, you wouldn't vote for Brexit. If you value these things, then you'd be pro being on a gay pride thing. You would value, you would respect, and you would want the transgender agenda, all of those things. But what happens to those people who don't go along with this? Now, I would say that I was for tolerance and diversity and respect for all and Scotland valuing love or whatever you want to call it. But how we define these things could be and often will be very, very different. Father Mark Morris is a Catholic priest who's chaplain to Glasgow Caledonian University. What he did was after the Gay Pride rally, his parishioners requested him to hold a post-Pride prayer or Mass. It was his parish is very traditional. It's called the Immaculate Heart. It's got an elderly congregation. And he held what was called a rosary of reparation for the gross offence to God. Now, not being a big fan of the rosary, I guess I could object to that. But here's what happened. He ended up being suspended, in fact, fired from his post as chaplain in Glasgow Caledonian University. Why? This did not happen at the university. It was not in university time, and it had nothing to do with the university. In effect, Glasgow Caledonian University said this: the university is strongly inclusive and committed to supporting equality and diversity on campus. Now, let's stop and think about how Orwellian this is, and I think this is indicative of where we are going. Father Mark is upholding Catholic doctrine. Catholic doctrine is that the practice of homosexuality is sinful. That's Catholic teaching, and you don't get to err from that, even if you're the Pope. And so what the university is saying is any Catholic who upholds Catholic teaching should be banned. Now, that's not just Glasgow University. I'm chaplain at the University of Dundee. Are they going to ban me because I support Father Mark? Are they really going to do that? Are the Scottish National Party going to exclude all Catholics who hold to Catholic doctrine? I know that there are some government MPs and ministers who are going to be in severe trouble if that is the case. And yet someone in The National, which is the Pravda magazine of the Scottish National Party, recently argued that any MP who did not buy wholly into the gay rights agenda should be fired. He was arguing strongly for that. That's the direction that we're going. One of the things I discovered about the priest is this. His nickname is the Gentle Giant, and he helps out in the soup kitchen 3 times a week. But no, his views on homosexuality are wrong. And those are not just the Catholic views. I think they are the Christian views. They're the views of the Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox churches throughout the ages. More importantly, they are the views of Scripture. Let me just reflect just a little bit more on where all of this is going and how it works out in other areas of life. Let's go to another famous Catholic, Sir James Macmillan, who's Scotland's best-known composer. He was kind of radical left-wing, I think nationalist. He's kind of swung back considerably, and he himself is very concerned about the way that the government is going. He asks, is it possible to have a public life necessary if you're an artist in Scotland, even although the interior life is more crucial, if you're not part of the pro-government nomenclature? Now, what's he saying? He's saying that you have to go along with what Ian Blackford calls our values, or you're not going to get government funding, which for most artists means you're not going to make a living. Fiona Hislop, the culture secretary, says this: artists don't have to be close to government. So far, so good. But then she goes on to say, they just have to have a common understanding of what the country wants. You get that? They just have to have a common understanding. Mr. Blackford's values. Ms. Sturgeon's values. They have to have a common understanding of what the country wants. This is a way of bridging, of helping ambition for the country. And in case you doubt what the country wants, and what the country wants, by the way, is what the government wants, and this is how we're moving down that authoritarian route. You're not Scottish if you're born in Scotland. You're not Scottish because of your ethnicity or identity or history. You're Scottish because you share the values of the Scottish government. Creative Scotland, a government award-making body, made an award of £20,000 for a book containing a transsexual love story aimed at 14-year-old children. This book, called Secrets and Confessions, is being distributed in secondary schools and libraries, quote, to reflect the experience of gay people and transsexuals. Now, let's imagine I go to Creative Scotland and say, do you know this? There are 0.001% of the population who are transsexual. There are over 50% of the population who profess Christianity, but let's say 10%. I'd like you to give me £20,000 to write a book about the experience of 14-year-old Christians coming out as Christians. Would you do that? They're not going to do that. Of course they're not going to do that. The fact is that in Scotland today, so much of the charity sector is dependent on government funding, and you have to reflect the government's values. Let me give you just one other example of why this is really concerning. And for those of you not in Scotland, and there are many of you who don't live here, just watch your own country. Watch if this happens to you. Let me just talk about the police. David Hamilton, second in command at the Scottish Police Federation, tweeted that those responsible, or those who voted for Brexit, were slightly thick and slightly racist Muppets. Now, he's meant to be politically impartial, but he tweets this and nothing has happened to him. We mentioned last week the case of the education convener here in the city of Dundee who tweeted the most abysmal vitriol and abuse against people, and yet nothing has happened to him. And yet, if you are a Catholic priest who holds a service in your own church, proclaiming your own church's doctrine, you can be removed from public life. So here is where we are going. And this is why I focused on this particular subject today, because I do think it's important. I think Scotland is a microcosm of it. I think because Scotland has a smaller civic group, probably 5,000 to 10,000 people, who basically are on all the quangos, who control everything, then it's easier for this to happen in Scotland. But I think it's also going to happen in other Western liberal democracies who reject Christianity, reject freedom of religion, and will end up rejecting democracy. Let's just repeat the steps of where we're at. Mr. Blackford tells us we are Scottish if we put our shoulders to the wheel, if we adopt the values of Scotland. But the values of Scotland are to be the values of his government. Those values, as represented, as we heard already from the First Minister, respect, tolerance, love, and so on, they all sound great until they are defined. And the trouble is, if, let's say, like me, you think that teaching children transgender queer theory ideology is state-sponsored child abuse, then you're no longer respectful. You're no longer showing love. You no longer have those values. You are to be ostracized. You are to be cut off. And at some point, you will end up being punished by the state. These are not the values of a liberal democracy founded upon Christianity. These are the values of an authoritarian state, and we are sleepwalking into them. Now, I'm not making all these things as a political point, because for those of you who know me, you know that my politics are nationalist, and Scottish nationalist, and are probably a lot more left-wing than many people listening to this. That's not the issue. The issue is not party politics. The issue is not general politics. The issue is how our society is governed. And what I'm observing in Scotland is this incredible authoritarianism that crushes people. Let me just explain how it would work in a liberal democracy, in a genuinely pluralistic society. In a pluralistic society, I would look at Father Mark and say, what are you doing holding the rosary? I don't agree with the rosary. That's ridiculous. I would critique his theology. I would critique his practice. And then I would say, but you're free to do that. And I certainly don't think he should be removed from chaplaincy for doing that. He would look at me and he would say, I don't agree with your Calvinist theology. He'd probably cite G.K. Chesterton at me or something. Have a go. But again, he wouldn't ask that I be removed. But the difference we've got with the liberals who don't have any Christian background is that they think the only values that can possibly be held are their values, and if you don't accept their values, you're out. We'll think more about this, and we'll see more and more evidence of this as we go on. But meanwhile, thank you for listening to Quantum, and we shall see you next week.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it, or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens, trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.